This is the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Guys, we're out there now. Okay, hold on. I got R.C. Collins and Bud Dickman, and they are lined up. They're in Montebello at the fourplex there. And people lined up now to see the movie. Are you guys there? Are you guys there? Bud, are you there? Bud. Bud, this is Phil Hendry. Are you there? Is R.C. there? Are you guys there? Hello, 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 hello.
There's Bud Dickman reporting to Montebello Fourplex.
Hold on for a minute. Hold on.
Right now, the people are not lined up. It's just some people in line for it. I'm talking to a guy.
Hold on for a minute, man.
Yeah.
Where were you?
We were standing by here waiting for you.
I kept screaming at you. You weren't there.
Well, we have an interview.
So this is R.C. Collins. I'm talking to a kid who's in line for the Star Wars movie, even though it don't come out till May. What's up with that?
It's going to be really good. Different better. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah?
We're still there. We're still saying.
Back to you, bud.
Okay, I have a guy here. What's your name?
Bob.
And Bob, you're lined up for the movie, but it's not coming out till May. Isn't that kind of retarded?
Well, I'm thinking, hey, this is my girlfriend.
Oh.
Well, that's great. Okay. Back to you, Phil.
Hello?
Yeah.
What is that, man? What was that? I don't understand. I didn't understand anything anybody said.
Here's our sheet.
What's the matter, Phil?
I didn't understand anything anybody said, man. Are you telling me there's kids out there lined up for the freaking Star Wars movie and it's not even... That's news, right?
Yeah, they're here. They're all messed up.
Okay, fine. How come I couldn't understand a word they were saying?
Well, they were talking about how they're looking forward to the movie because it's going to bridge the two...
I know what you knew that what they said. I couldn't understand them. How come?
Here's a guy dressed like Chewbacca.
Hold on for a minute, will you?
All right.
Why can't I understand anybody?
I don't know. I mean...
You see the guys in the Chewbacca costume?
Yeah, the guy's in a Chewbacca costume, the other guy's in a Ewok costume.
Well, that's why I can't understand them.
Why?
Because they're talking through a freaking mask, man. That's why.
Here's a lady. What's your name? Are you looking forward to...
Will you hold on for a minute, man?
Hold on. What?
Forget it. Don't talk to anybody wearing masks, man. I can't understand what they're saying. Do you guys understand? They're coming out like this. It's muffled up.
He says it's muffled up. All right. Thanks a lot, Phil.
What in the living hell was that about, man? When I'm trying to get an interview with some guys down there. You guys there?
Look, it's James Earl Jones.
Hey, we got James Earl Jones. Phil, what? How you doing, James?
It's some guy in a Darth Vader costume. Bug off. Couple of guys, I send them down there. First of all, I got people in line for this Star Wars movie, which is coming out in May, which is going to be Anakin Skywalker turning to the dark side. No comment on that. And the people, of course, are such fans that they're lining up now. Not really. It couldn't possibly be. How is that legal? I don't think I've ever spent a night... Oh, yeah, I have. I've spent a night out on Colorado Boulevard waiting for the Rose Parade, but only that was because of what you did. And I wasn't even really all that jazzed about seeing a Rose Parade. You know, let's face it, at about 6 o'clock in the morning on New Year's Day, after you've been up all night partying, I don't care whether the floats are coming by. It all looks the same to me, man. So I asked them to go down there, and they're interviewing guys wearing Chewbacca masks. That isn't going to get it done. I can't understand anything. Oh, well. All right, 1-800-449-8686, our web address, www.philhendryshow.com. And I kind of played a joke. I said I was going to have a big statement on my website about radio and everything. I didn't get around to doing it. All these people were tuning in to see what it was. But if you go to our website, go to the homepage, you'll see a picture there of our very good friend, Jeff Jagosinski. He's now been promoted to offensive line coach of the Atlanta Falcons. Jags is there with a guy he coached to the Pro Bowl his first year with the Atlanta Falcons. Coach Jags' first year with the Falcons. He coaches Algie Crumpler to the Pro Bowl. He's with the Green Bay Packers for 4 years. He put Bubba Franks in 4 Pro Bowls. And there's a picture of Jags there with Algie Crumpler and Jason Witten of the Dallas Cowboys. And anyway, I got an email today from Jags. He's been promoted to offensive line coach with the Atlanta Falcons. Now, that is a great organization down there. That is a great organization and a great coach, Jim Mora Jr. And according to Jags, the guy's loyal to everybody. I mean, this is a guy who doesn't care. You know, he wants his coaches to do well. He promotes them. It's terrific. Unlike some places we could mention.
Green Bay.
Now, I also want to say a couple of things here. It's kind of frightening, but I think I probably should get it out of the way. Number one, I've been staying over the last 2 months at a little beachside residence that my wife and I have had for a number of years. Now, this is a very modest home that we bought about a block and a half from the beach up there in Ventura County. Now, my wife has often said to me, you know, that's my dollhouse. She calls it her dollhouse. That has some significance to women. I guess it means it's where they go play dress up or something. I don't know what it means. It's their dollhouse. It's where they go and play. And I've been staying there, and now she's got the kids over in Hawaii because it's their week off from school, and then they're going to be coming back. Now, I told her, I said, I'm going to take care of the house. Don't worry about it, baby. Everything's going to be fine. Because you know that's my dollhouse. I know. It's going to be fine. Today, I felt like Ralph Cramden in The Honeymooners. Do you ever hear him when he'd like walk into a room and go, rah! Like that? Because I suddenly walk in, and there's a little tiny, it's like a sun patio thing. It's got carpeting in it, so it's not really a pet. It's a room, but it's a one room in a house where I can smoke a cigarette. Okay, you know, I do it on occasion. I go out there today, I look down at the carpeting, and you know the cherry from a cigarette, the bright red cherry from a cigarette? Well, one dropped onto the carpet at some point over the past couple of months, and it was still there embedded. And there's now a hole burned in the carpet. You know, it's a small little thing, okay? And I looked at it, and I did one of those double takes. I looked at it, and I went, oh, man. Holy God. Now my mind starts working like an onboard computer, you know? Okay, what are we going to do? I know. I'll get some scissors. I'll cut from behind a sofa little bits of fabric from another part of the carpet, and I'll go over there, and I'll glue it in. And she'll never know. Right. I fear I've done damage to that house, and I apologize. I don't think so. But hey, you know, a guy's living in it. Stuff's going to happen. I mean, there's going to be stains on the carpeting. And when I'm living in a house, there's more than stains on the carpeting. There's going to be a few things that just aren't exactly... It's the difference between a dollhouse and a place where a slob lives. There's just a kind of a... I don't know what you'd want to call it. There's a large... What do we call it? A credibility gap, let's say, between a dollhouse and where Slob Boy lives. And Slob Boy's been there. So, yeah, when you look down and you look at a burn and a carpeting, so that's what I'm going to do. I think I'm going to trim some fabric, glue it in, and hope she doesn't see. I don't know. Or there's another thing I can do. You take the table and you move it on top of the burn so that the leg is on top of the thing. Or I'll recarpet the whole house before she gets back. That's in 3 days. Yeah, I can get that done. Price it. Have a guy come out and lay it. Now, let's see. Do I want the burgundy or the guy's going to come out and do it on, yeah, sure, President's Day. I think I'm a dead man. You want to know my honest opinion? I think I'm the walking dead man walking, baby. They had me in mind on that one. But it's going to be kind of cool because moving back with Maria and the kids in a week. And, you know, we'll be one big happy family. And we'll be on Extra Sports AM 570. And we'll be all over the country. And things will be great. And, you know, and we'll never have to think about all of these bad things again.
KFI.
All right, now. Well, what the heck? They pulled me off the air. They can't even hear me now. They pulled me off the air, bud.
Why?
Because I did a skit with John Ziegler.
Yeah, nothing wrong with it. What's wrong with it?
I don't know, but you heard David Hall call up. He was all bugged about it.
They're pansies. Don't let it sweat. Don't sweat the small stuff.
Thanks a lot, Dad. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Everything about it.
No, he knows about it. RC, you there, man?
Yes, sir.
Okay, you heard what happened tonight in Los Angeles, our show getting pulled prematurely. What happened?
Well, first of all, I didn't know what was going on. It was confusing, because one minute you was talking about going to the 5-7, to Extra Sports AM 570, and then you...
All right, calm down, okay? Just calm down. Just slow down, okay?
Okay. Then you were talking like you were John Ziegler, and then they put a tape on, and I know there was a tape on account I heard it before, and I know you'd done it before.
So you knew that we weren't live?
Yes, sir. And then...
Calm down, man. Just take a deep breath.
And then I tried to call the station.
You tried to call the local L.A. station?
Yes, sir. And then the guy answered, and I go, excuse me, the guy answered.
Just get a hold of yourself, man, all right? You're a little panicky.
Well, I'm a little bit nervous.
Okay, go ahead.
Then the man that answered, he goes, yeah, this is the Phil Hendry Show, but, you know what, he wouldn't say nothing. It was like, I didn't understand what he was saying, because I said to him, I go, yeah, I know you guys is playing a tape on account I heard it, so what happened to Phil Hendry? And he's, oh, what do you mean? Oh, he's on here. And I'm like, you're lying, and then he hung up on me.
Well, that's, of course he's going to hang up on you, because you got to know a whole thing with him. Okay, what do you know about it, bud?
Only what he told me, and that's all that I know about it.
Probably it was the Ziegler thing. You think it was the Ziegler thing?
Yeah, pretty much. You made him sound not gay or anything, but it was pretty funny. But they probably didn't like it.
Well, I had him talking like he was Tennessee Williams or some kind of Southern guy. You know, that kind of thing.
Well, I don't know who he is, but yeah, kind of like that.
Yeah, it was like that.
Who's asking you, man? I'm getting the information from him.
Well...
Okay, so you want to... Bud's motioning something to me. What do you want to do?
I'm going to do the bluesometer.
Yeah, let's do the bluesometer.
Okay, well, what did you think of the John Ziegler bit that I did tonight?
On the R.C. Collins bluesometer? Egg salad.
Thank you. I guess I didn't need to have you live. I have it on tape. Jesus. Well, it's what I do. It's what I do. It's what I do. It's what I do. What do you want me to say? Take a couple of little shots here, a little satirization there. You know, the funny thing of it is, I got into trouble, I guess it was about 3-4 years ago. I don't come on necessarily and say, this host sucks or that host sucks. It's not really my style. What we do is we do a little bit, you know, we do a little sketch featuring, you know, I'd be doing a voice of the person, because stuff that's kind of interesting about him. Some people are got a really good sense of humor about it. Jim Rome, we've been doing bits about him. Boy over there, Comb Over Boy, he don't like it. Comb Over Boy didn't like it because it's so dead on right about what he does, you know. Romy, though, he digs it. He didn't care. Art Bell, classic example. Art Bell, we've been doing Art Bell shtick for I don't know how long, and I mean, we've had some bits where he and General Johnson Jameson have awakened together in a bed with an empty wine jug next to them, okay? And you think Art's getting tight about it? Nah, he don't care. He digs it. Ross Mitchell, great guy. Rush Limbaugh, great guy. Doesn't care. Some people, you know, you got to watch it, I guess. You just got to know the turf that you're on and not get into any anything heavy, because otherwise you're dead meat. All right. Now, and then the other thing here that I have to tell you, because as we begin to move here in the city of Los Angeles to a new home, and you guys in the rest of our network are privy to all the stuff that's going on, what's happened is I used to say that there are three kinds of people that listen to our show. And this has always been true. And I began saying this, I guess, about, oh, I don't know, 10 years ago when I was in Miami. And it's really, I'm really convinced it's true now. As the result of watching this sort of crazy, crazy shift of this mindset that's been happening just because our show's moving to a sports station. There's three kinds of people that listen to the Phil Hendry Show. There are people that don't understand what is going on and hate it. They don't know that what our shtick is. There's people that do understand what's going on and hate it. And then there's people who do understand what's going on and love it. All right? Guess who I've been hearing from over the past couple of weeks? I've been hearing from Group 2. The ones that cannot pull themselves away from this show and hate themselves for it. They just hate themselves for it. They cannot not listen. And they don't really hate themselves because they would never go, you know, they're not conscious enough to do that. They don't like us. Now, I'll tell you who these people are. Why were these people created? Very simply this. Our radio show went on the air and made chumps out of a lot of these people. They bought it. They got chumped. They looked dumb. They might have said something to a coworker. They might have said something to a family friend. They might have said, I heard a guy today. Now, there's a lot of folks like that, and a lot of them say, oh, my God, I didn't know it was a joke. It's very, very funny, and they're very, you know, they're self-effacing, and they can, you know, they can deal with it, can roll with it, and they're healthy, in other words, psychologically. But the real twisted ones are the ones that find out that it was a gag, and they get mad. They get really bent out of shape. And for 8 years... since we went to our present home in Los Angeles, we've had this group of people that are just really mad, you know, at me for making, you know, making them love me. It's, for want of a better way of describing it, that's, they hate me for making them listen to me. Do you understand? I don't think there's ever been a situation similar. Well, maybe there has. I don't know. So when we finally announced that we decided that we would move our show to a sports station, they started to vent. Yeah, you bastard, you. Well, I swear to God, it's like a child venting at a parent that's leaving. You never did love me anyway, and you sucked, and you're... like little children who are getting angry with daddy because he's... I don't know, he didn't come through like, you know, didn't come through as a daddy should or something. And that's what we, you know, it's been a fascinating... it's been a fascinating couple of, I'd say a month, and it culminated tonight, of course, with the I suppose, the preeminent act of someone getting flustered and petulant, and that's the local station yanking us off the air because we did, I guess we were too funny. Phil Hendry? Yes, you're fired. You're too funny. I can't have that on my show. I can't have that on my, you're too, way too funny for this station. I honestly believe that that was the case. For 8 years, man, we were just too funny for that radio station. Now, if you could be on that stage, if I could, for instance, do some fairly stale one-liners, some jokes that have been recycled over the internet, make sure they're all very political, make sure they have something to do with bashing Bush or Kerry or one or the other, something, I probably would, you know... they would invite me to every picnic they have, right? But because our humor was actually making people laugh, I mean, like, as in really laugh, it was pissing people off. Pisses off people that don't do a show as well as we do. Pisses off listeners that got chumped by it, got suckered by it, thought they were brain surgeons and found out that they weren't. That's the real one, man. There's the people who go... well, I like my serious talk radio. Right, and then they call up and they're talking to a made-up voice, and they think that the dude is like some representative of some organization. They don't realize they're just talking to me, you know, doing a voice through a phone, and they realize that they have been made to look foolish, and they don't like that. And so I never knew this, but over the, you know, the course of 10 years, I've come to realize just how many people you can piss off with a show that's a comedy show, primarily. But it is a satirical show, so I suppose that's, like I say, it's got a point of view. All right, 1-800-449-8686, the number here on the Phil Hendry Show. Web address is www.philhendryshow.com. Email address is phs@philhendryshow.com. I'm about 2 weeks behind on answering our backstage pass email, but I will. Michelle's going to be with us on Tuesday. She's going to get to the rest of the mail. Most of it's, you know, a lot of spam. If I see one more email on... hey, how's your sex life? Well, there's a new drug every day now. It's herbal. It's not. And then I'm getting spam on laptop computers and what's my car worth. And so, Michelle, you can deal with all that stuff. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. We'll be right back.
Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
All right, just a little trip around the newswire here on the Phil Henry Show as we get ready for a three-day weekend, baby. It's going to be a beautiful thing. Monday night on the air on WWNC in Asheville. Monday night on the air in Los Angeles on Extra Sports AM 570. Our show isn't changing, by the way. We're just changing stations, okay? Because we're on a sport. Look, I was on a news talk station. Do you think this is a news talk show? So now I'm going to a sports station. Think it's going to be a sports show? It's going to be the same show. Now, taking a look at our headlines, diners arriving at a nice Manhattan restaurant on a cold February night strip off coats, hats, gloves, and scarves. They don't stop there. Skirts, shirts, pants, underwear, and stockings all end up stashed in plastic bags by the bar as the patrons get naked for the monthly clothing optional dinner. It's exciting to be in a restaurant nude, said George Keyes, 65, a retired junior high school English teacher. You know, Marie and I were in, where is it? These Europeans, they're a beautiful, have you ever seen these Europeans? They're a beautiful thing. We were down in Dutch something or other. I don't know what the hell it was. It was, what's the one called? Oh, Netherlands Antilles. And then there's the French Antilles. It's actually one island. On one side, it's Dutch, and on the other side, it's French. And I don't say this to bash the French. I honestly don't. It's just well known. The more fun side is the Dutch side. The French side is... it's dull, but we decided to get in a car, in a cab, and drive over to the French side of the island. And Maria says, I want to get something to drink. Can you stop here? She said to the cab driver, we stop here and get some water. He says, yes, sir, or ma'am, or I know a place here. So he pulls in, and it's a resort, and there's this guy about 114 years old wearing the Birkenstock sandals with kind of a navy blue sock. He's wearing a baseball cap with a scarf around his neck. And the rest of him is stark, raving nude. And he's old. And so it's all just frightening looking. Just, in other words, it's just all very, very frightening. Those are the cats that don't mind. They just, it's exciting for them to be nude. Well, I'm glad you enjoy it, because it ain't too much of a thrill for the rest of us. Walking into a place to eat? Oh, God. And what can I get for you this evening, sir? How about if you ask that man to put a shirt on, or just anything, pants, anything? Well, this is a nude restaurant. I understand it's a nude restaurant, but I'm being put off my food looking at that. So, well, maybe you shouldn't look, sir. Do you have some sort of a homoerotic fixation? Ow. Keys, a lifelong nudist, wore a necklace, earrings. I thought nudists, their whole trip was, we keep it in, you know, that we go to our nudist colony and we're nude. Then we go back into the world of the clothed, and we're clothed. Now, the nudes are jamming it down our throats. Anyway, Keyes, a lifelong nudist, wore a necklace, earrings, and a black leather genital brace with red studs and white sneakers. Is this a guy? George Keyes, 65, yeah. A necklace, earrings, and a black leather genital bracelet with red studs and white sneakers. The dinner was started by a group of New York nudists who wanted something a bit more elegant than the wilderness getaways and beach resorts they generally frequent. When you go away on holiday, it's more you're roughing it in the woods, whereas this is a really nice restaurant, said Keyes, a member of a gay nudist group, Males au Naturel, or, if you will, M-A-N.
What's that spell?
Take a freaking guess. John Orderver, that's his name, I swear to God, John Orderver, set up the dining club about a year ago, recruiting members through word of mouth and the internet. Next month is our Easter bonnet event, where everybody has to come wearing an Easter bonnet. Okay, that's the end. No. Maybe I could go with, no. There's no way on God's earth I'm showing up in a bonnet nude, okay? I left those days behind, I'd say, my second month of life. That isn't going to happen. No how. What in the hell? All right, everybody. This is going to be a very, very significant event for all of us nudists. And it's our first restaurant. Hey, all right. Next month, of course, is our Easter bonnet celebration. So I want you to show up wearing flip-flops and a bonnet and nothing else. Okay? All agreed? No? Well, what are you talking about? I'm not going to get that. What do I look like to you, man? If I'm nude, I'm nude. Why do I have to accent the fact that I'm nude while wearing a bonnet? And who's speaking? Phil Hendry. Aren't you the radio personality? Yes, I am, sir. And you've just joined our organization? Yes, I have. Why? You know, nudity is very interesting, and it's very natural and all that. I don't have to want to wear a freaking bonnet. Also, excuse me for a minute, Mr. Hendry, I'll get to you in a moment. Remember, don't forget your pacifiers. Okay, that's right there is what I'm talking about. Mr. Hendry, I said I'd speak to you in a moment. So you want me to show up in a bonnet with a nipple in my mouth, nude? What's wrong with that? No, nothing, man. Nothing at all. Something very wrong with this organization, man. I'm going to go join one of them good old-fashioned nudist camps. You know, where they have the big trailers and some old lady with a big saggy body is handing out hamburgers or some crap like that. Oh, you mean the straight organizations. Well, which one's this? Well, this is the gay one. Holy jeez. Bye. All right, so anyway, around 30 people arrived for the buffet dinner. Get it? Buff? Organizers specified no hot soup on the menu. Ain't that funny? Most of them, middle-aged, several married couples, some singles, the youngest perhaps in their 30s. They're a good class of people. They're no different from you or I, said John Busey. We just happen to walk around naked with bonnets on. No different from you or I. Don't you always love that? There's nothing unusual about what we do. We're absolutely like anybody else. We just have different ways of relaxing. Okay, yeah, some people go skiing, other people play chess, some people listen to music. You guys stick nipples in your mouths, put on bonnets, strip naked, and wear Birkenstocks. Sure. What's wrong with that? Totally natural. Owner of the Midtown restaurant, they're not hurting anybody. It's not a wild Roman orgy. You know what? That's something else that I want to take a little bit of exception to. I've often heard it said, who are we hurting? Why don't you let us do what we want to do? Yes, you are. You're hurting a lot of people. You're hurting me. You're hurting friends of mine. You're hurting countless generations as yet unborn just being out in public looking that way. The trauma you inflict with your ugly body. Why can't you appreciate the beauty of the human body, Mr. Hendry? I don't know. It's probably my Catholic upbringing. I admit I'm warped. I'm not saying there should be a law against it, okay? But I'm just saying I have a right to make fun of it and also say, you know what? As far as I'm concerned, you guys being nude in public, wearing, what is this again? A genital bracelet with red studs? That hurts me bad, man. Health regulations mean staff must remain clothed even if they want to join in. Why? Oh, I see. So the guy that serves your food's got to be wearing clothes, but the dude sitting next to you can be just totally nude? And that makes it healthier? And diners must bring something to sit on, a towel or, for discerning women, an elegant silk scarf. The restaurant's manager covered the windows to maintain privacy at the strictly private party. Extra heaters kept the temperature at a comfortable... Now, there you go. If you want to be all natural, right? You want to be nude? How come you're using heaters? Why don't you build a campfire in there or something?
You don't want to stick on a vinyl seat or nothing.
What?
If you're nude.
Oh, you mean they're going to get stuck in a vinyl seat?
Yeah.
Yeah, but dude, this is some heavy-ass restaurant. It's got to be leather or something.
Plus, they don't want anybody putting streaks down.
Oh, Jesus. Ordover's wife, Carol, said they first went on national holiday 5 years ago, and she found the experience empowering. There's one of those words. There's one of those words. It's one of those words that when you hear it, people will use a word like empower so that they don't have to explain anything else. It's just empowering. And everyone will nod their head, right? Empowering on what level? You can walk around nude at my house anytime you want, Carol. You want empowering? My wife and kids won't be back until Wednesday. Carol, 85, on second thought, but she explained it's the least sexual thing you can possibly imagine. Yeah, that's a woman talking, all right.
There's nothing sexual about nudity.
Yeah, you're right.
It's just very natural.
Right, mm-hmm.
And if you could just get into it on that level, you and I can be friends.
Yeah, okay.
So anyway, what do you want to do?
Oh, what do you say we go and climb a couple of mountains? I mean, go and get two scoops. I mean, let's... 1-800-449. Let me see if I'm missing anything before we go to our break. Men in nudist resorts are striking a bargain. They get to see as many naked women as they like as long as they are polite and look them straight in the eye, she said. Okay. Sherry Stafford, a petite and elegant 51-year-old with blonde hair, high heels, enormous breasts. She brought, no, I'm just kidding. It says, brought brochures and videos advertising her travel business, internationally travel. One of the flyers was for a resort called Hedonism 2. Oh, you ever heard of Hedonism? A friend of mine went down there. She was caught in a hurricane. It was back in 89. But you're nude through the whole damn thing, right? The slogan is be wicked for a week, but she said nudists should not be confused with swingers. Wearing clothes and going to church does not protect you from moral evil, Stafford said. Anyway, screw it. I'm done with it. All right, 1-800-449. If you want to know the name of this restaurant, it's called Wear a Bonnet and Suck a Nipple. And it's on 5th Street or something in New York City. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Excited to have Paul Tubby Lane on the line. Paul is a former driver with the National Association of Stock Car Automobile Racers, otherwise known as NASCAR. Paul, how you doing?
I'm very good, Phil. It's always good to be on your program.
Paul, the proposal you have for NASCAR has to do with... there's a thing called happy hour. Tell me what happy hour is.
Phil, happy hour is when the cars are set in their times. That'll be about the hour, 2 hours before the race, and that's what we call happy hour in NASCAR. We think that the time has come for NASCAR to reevaluate some of the rules they have. And for drivers, professional drivers, such as the ones who drive NASCAR, we don't think there's any problem with a driver relaxing himself before the race. With a drink. And
you're talking about alcohol.
I am talking about alcohol.
You're not afraid of safety issues.
No, we are not. We don't think that's a concern because the drivers are that good. Out on the roads, on the highways and so forth, you have obviously passenger cars being operated by individual people, citizens, who are not as proficient, nowhere near as proficient as the drivers that we have in our organization. So what you wind up having are people operating motor vehicle after having a couple of drinks, and certainly that's a very dangerous and compromising situation. The difference is, in NASCAR, we have professional drivers, professional racers, who know the inside and out of an automobile intimately, are highly skilled at what they do, are very highly skilled at driving at very high speeds, and I think that's very key information. So it doesn't matter if they want to take a drink before a race, to relax themselves, to some drivers focus very well after a couple of drinks. And so we're going to introduce that to NASCAR, that a driver, if he so chooses, can have a couple of drinks before a race, maybe two or three.
Well, how many could a guy have reasonably before you consider him unsafe to race in a major auto racing event?
That depends on the driver. I think that many of the people that I know in NASCAR can have as many as five or six drinks before they go out there and still run a hell of a race, do a little bit of door banging, do a little, you know, shunting and drafting and everything else, and they'll ride a hell of a race. And I can tell you, over the last year, no less than seven of the drivers who have won major NASCAR events did so legally drunk. Now, what that means is they had enough alcohol in them that they would not pass a sobriety test just by either a breathalyzer or blood test in most states in this country.
You're telling me that seven
drivers.
Seven drivers that have won major NASCAR events over the last year were legally drunk.
Yes, sir. That is absolutely right. and there was no problem. Nobody got killed. Everybody just had a, you know, had a good time. He had a good time. A couple of them, you know, fell out of the car, but...
When are you going to bring this up?
Well, we've got an owner's meeting. We've got a driver's meeting. It's going to be coming up here at the end of the month. And certainly that's going to be proposed then. It's been on the table for a long time. A lot of drivers, I feel the time is right for them to be able to go out, race, after having 7 or 8 stiff drinks.
All right, Paul, good luck.
Thank you very much.
Paul Lane on NASCAR, a proposal to allow the drivers to drink before they race. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
All right, well, I'm going to step out of here, and on Monday night, we'll see you on a new station in Asheville and a new station in Los Angeles. And I want to thank everybody that was on the show this evening, particularly our very special guest, Don Parsley. Mr. Parsley, who talked about his son getting his brains blown out or run over or shot with a bow and arrow, whatever his problem was. Also, Bud Narcy, thanks very much for being with us. Paul Tubby Lane, I want to thank him. Don Parsley. Herb Sewell was with us. David G. Hall was with us. And, of course, our listener flashback and the guy who played John Ziegler. Thank you very much for being with us. That, of course, wasn't really John Ziegler. Phil Hendry Show.
No, it wasn't John Ziegler. All of those characters were played by Phil Hendry. I'm Margaret Gray. A slut. How do
I know I got... By the way, this song sums up how I feel.
That's nice.